this academy, founded by the great Sri Swami Shivananda Maharaj, is avowed to cater to the all-round needs of a human being. And point out ways and methods of overcoming the limitations that we feel in our own lives. Everywhere there is a sense of lacuna in the life of a person. No one feels complete in one's own self. Either you are financially not well off, or the health is not on par, or socially you have got some problems, or there is tension in the office, or some other difficulty in the family. This and that, and so many things are there, so that it becomes difficult to adjust oneself with the pressures exerted in this manner from different corners and aspects of human involvement. What are we going to teach you? We are not going to instruct you on any kind of abstract academic subject, of which many of you are perhaps already aware, and in which you must be already trained very well, being highly educated persons. What is required is the learning of an art of being always happy in yourself. Health and happiness go together. And health does not necessarily mean a sturdy body, a muscular person and all that. It is a sense of buoyancy that one feels in oneself, and alertness in intelligence, and self-sufficiency in one's own being. The self-sufficiency is incapable of attainment on account of a perpetual pressure from the inner needs of the psyche, which goes on telling you that there are many other things in the world which are greater than you, and you are a little small fry in compared to all these people. It is necessary for you to know that you are a complete person. If you feel that you are not complete, it is up to you to learn the art of making yourself feel complete in yourself. The completeness physically is there already. Your physical body is complete in itself, it lacks nothing. But is the mind also complete in itself? Are your thoughts integrated? Is the way of your thinking is in a state of harmony? Many thoughts arise in the mind on account of the existence of varieties of things in the world with which the mind is connected deliberately or inadvertently. Are you able to put these thoughts together into a focus of harmony, so that even if the thoughts are many, you are sure that the mind is one only? If the mind is one and the mind is not manifold, the variety of the processes of thinking should not affect you seriously if you are a good psychologist of your own mind. The objects of perception may be many, but you are one integral whole. You do not become many when you perceive many things. This is a psychological secret. When we are conscious of many things, we may sometimes, due to lack of proper attention to the situation, feel that we also have become many things. We feel a sense of being torn into shreds of isolated aspects of personality. either you are going on thinking that you are a student, or you think that you are a professor, or you think that you are a boss, or you think you are an engineer, or you are a husband, or you are a wife, or you are a brother, or you are a sister. Always these thoughts impede upon the mind and not permit you to think that you are something else in addition to these participations of your nature in the varieties of engagements. You do not become many things merely because you think many things. But it looks as if you become many things, very, very unfortunately, which causes distraction, despondency, and inability to be cohesive in your thoughts. You cannot stand integrated in your own self. The art of being is greater than the art of living somehow in the world, getting on way of existence. Somehow you can get on in life, but your being should not be shaken up. There are many kinds of beings in which we are engaged, but our being cannot be manifold. You are one being only, and a very strong being. The strength of your being arises on account of your capacity to absorb the varieties of perceptions into your total individuality. A whole that your mind is. In modern terms, they say it is a holistic way of thinking. The mind operates in a whole, holistic manner, not in fractions. Even if there are empty thoughts in the mind, they are coordinated to the central operative factory of the mind, and each one is conscious that these thoughts are my thoughts. I have 100 varieties of thoughts in my mind, but these thoughts are my mind. That is to say, I stand single, integrated, wholesome, in spite of the apparent ramifications of the thought process. This is the root of psychology and somewhat philosophy also. Towards this end, it has been proposed in this academy to impart a new type of education which will cater to the different aspects of your personality. You are intellectual and your rational being should be satisfied. There should not be any kind of intellectual doubt in the mind. Everything should be cleared, threadbare. There is also, you have got an emotion in your mind. You are feeling. Oftentimes, you feel something. You feel something which is not necessarily what you are trying to understand through the intellect. The reason may argue out a conclusion which is perfectly valid systematically, but the feelings will say, after all, I am something different. Feelings are the motive force in our personality. The emotion is the engine which pumps energy into the whole system. And even intellect sometimes becomes subservient to the operation of the feeling. Whatever be your intellectual conclusion, professorial scholarship and degree that you hold, if the emotions revolt, then you are turn immediately into a non-rational person. There is a third aspect of the performance of the mind which is called volition or determining power. The power of the will is one of the aspects of the operation of the mind. Understanding, feeling and willing are the three primary aspects of psychological functioning. But there are deeper layers of our personality, all which we have inherited through the various incarnations we have experienced in our life. You have not suddenly dropped into this world from nowhere. A very complicated and comprehensive evolutionary process determines everything that is taking place in creation, and you are involved in this evolutionary process. It is not necessary merely to participate in the integrating necessity in a family life. You have also to be integrated to society outside, to all the situations arising in the world. Finally, you have to be in harmony with the demands of nature, ultimately with the requirements of the law of God Himself. This personality, this human being, this I or me, whatever it is not sitting outside the world. It is a great participant in the history of the cosmos. This is very important. It is not really given to us during our usual syllabus or curricula in the colleges and universities. We have only compartmentalized teachings. You take mathematics, you make physics, biology, you may take law, this, that. There is no connection of one with the other. A person who is a master of physics met me one day. I referred to him casually talking there was a king called Ashoka in India. He said, "What is Ashoka?" He asked me. "You have not read history, but I am a physics man," he said. "This is very strange. You may be a physics man, but you must have studied some history also. How you suddenly jump into physics and know nothing about Indian history? You don't know world history, you don't know cosmology, you don't know anything about astronomical and stars and heaven and all this. This kind of education is no good, where you are compartmentalized completely, like a barber shop. Where they say humorously, a barber was telling, "I only know how to put soap on your head, but shaving I cannot do. You go to the another man for shaving." Like that. So the poor man with the soap in the head, he want to go to the other side, like that. This is no good, this kind of education. You must be complete and happy in your own being, even if it is in a moderate scale. I don't mean that you should be omniscient. But moderately, you are a complete educated person. It is not that you are ignoramus. Toward this end, we have taken the help of various learned people here. We have some professors here from the universities. We have now retired. Each one is a master of one subject. But they are all devotees of Swami Jivananda Maharaj. So they will be able to handle the subject in such a way that the teachings stand in unison with the ideals of the great founder of the institution, spiritual uplift, enhancement of the spirit, and as it is the recognition of the Atman, knowing your own self. Know yourself and then you will be free. Most people say, "I know myself, what is wrong with me?" This kind of self is no good. This is the physical self that you are speaking about. And even if it is the psychological self, it is inadequate. There is social self with which you are connected. And there is emotional self which arises on account of your likes and dislikes in respect of things in the world. There is a political self as a citizen of a country. Many layers of self are there. Now when you say, "I am studying the self, the Atman," what kind of self? There are three kinds of self at least mentioned in philosophical circles. One is the false self, which is the physical self. This physical self is not the true self. It is temporary, vanishing, evanescent, fluctuating, perishable, and it has a beginning and an end. Then there is the social self. You always identify yourself with a community, a nation, a language, a culture, etc., etc. Then there is the emotional self. When your mind is attached to something, positively or negatively, liking or not liking, you create another self, the secondary self of emotional attachment. Whatever you are thinking in your mind, that becomes yourself. The mind will not move towards anything unless your self also has alienated itself to some extent in that direction. You can take no interest in anything unless the self has transferred itself from your physical location to that particular object. Even when you like it or when you don't like it, either way, there is a self-alienation taking place, and all sense perception thus becomes a travesty of affairs, an arena of muddled activity, so that no one knows what one is doing at morning and evening. To free a person from these difficulties arising out of a maladjustment of personality with one's own self, with society and with nature and God himself, an integrated system of thinking has to be conceived, which was in the mind of the great founder, Swami Shivananda Maharaj. I'm not going into details about this just now. I'm only expressing my happiness that I am in the presence of very interesting, very able, highly learned students